I know firsthand how exhausting it can be to manage all the tasks in my reselling business, like listing, bookkeeping, and more, but I found a solution that has given me back my time and allowed me to grow my business, hiring a virtual assistant. And now I want to share that solution with you. That's why I've created an online course called Hiring a Virtual Assistant for Your Reselling Business. With this course, you'll learn everything you need to know to find, train, and manage a virtual assistant like a pro. And because I want to make this course accessible to everyone, I'm offering a special coupon code, FLIPTHESCRIPT, that gives you $10 off at checkout. Don't miss out on this opportunity to take your reselling business to the next level. Sign up now at hiringava.com and let's enjoy the freedom and fun of growing our businesses together. Again, you can sign up at hiringava.com. Welcome to the Flip the Script podcast. I'm your host, Denali, and I'm a full-time reseller on eBay and Poshmark. My store and closet name is El Ducho, E-L-D-U-C-H-O, and you can find me on Instagram and YouTube as El Ducho Thrift. I'm really excited about today. I have a fun announcement. If you've been listening to some recent podcast episodes, you may have heard me mention that I have been spending the past month working on my very first course. And my course subject is on hiring a virtual assistant for your reselling business. I'm really excited to share this knowledge with everybody. This has been the game changer in my business, being able to bring on another person to help me do some of the work that is involved in reselling. So if you are looking to take your business to the next level, check out my course. You can find it at hiringava.com. That's H-I-R-I-N-G-A-V-A.com. All of this information will be in the show notes for you. I appreciate and thank you all for your support in this course and then also with this podcast. It's eternally appreciated. But I'm additionally excited for this week's episode. I had the opportunity to interview a very close friend of mine, and her name is Liz. You can find Liz on Instagram under the username ShopElMarnell, and that's spelled E-L-M-A-R-N-E-L, and that same username on Poshmark. So it's just at ElMarnell. So all of this information will be in the show notes again for you. Liz is a full-time clothing reseller living with her husband up here in the beautiful Pacific Northwest. Like myself, Liz left a full-time corporate human resources job to jump into the crazy world of reselling, but it was a journey to get there. There's a lot of burnout that can happen working a 9-to-5 job, as some of you may relate to. Liz was very candid and open with me in this episode. I really enjoyed this conversation and I hope you all do as well. Without further ado, let's get into it. Hi, Liz. Thanks for being on the podcast with me.
Hi, Denali. I'm so happy to be here with you.
I am so happy that you're here with me also. Full disclosure to the listener, Liz and I are very, very good friends, and I've been asking Liz for a little while now to be on the podcast, and the first time I asked you, you were like, no, thank you.
Nothing against Denali.
No.
Just about me.
No, totally, of course. It's like, you know, a comfort level for people, like, and whether it's the right timing or not, which is totally fine, but it was just, you know, when it's your friend, it's just kind of funny. So I asked Liz again recently. I said, I was shooting my shot. I very boldly asked you. I think it was more of a demand or request in my text message. I said, please be on my podcast, like no question marks, no punctuation at all. And she wrote back and said, yes. And I almost fell over. I was like, I wasn't expecting that. I felt like I should have, like, anything that I wanted to ask people that day, I should have just asked because I was feeling the power.
I got that lottery ticket. Gosh, darn it.
Right. I know I missed out on so many lotto tickets that day, but I'm so happy that you agreed to be on the podcast with me, because
Liz and I relate to each other in a lot of ways. Not only were we in the same age group, but we also had the same prior career working in human resources. And so we relate to each other in so many different ways about, you know, working that sort of job, but then also leaving that sort of job. And so I'm excited to have you here and share your story about going into reselling, Liz. So
thank you.
Without further ado, I guess my first question for you is, how and when did you first start reselling?
So I have always like had a love for vintage and old things. And I have always shopped at thrift stores. And I've been like thinking about this and like, can I remember the first time I went to a thrift store? And I can't. but I do remember like, when I would go places with my aunt and uncle or my mom or like my grandparents, we would go to antique stores and that kind of thing. So I always understood like kind of what it was. And my mom's parents, while they had other careers, they also kind of resold. So they would go to garage sales and things, and then they would sell some of the things they had. So it's always kind of been there, but it was never like a solidified thing for me. And then a few years ago, I finally joined Instagram. I was like super late to joining Instagram and like kind of went on that path that, you know, it's like, oh, I used to look at this person's blog. I wonder if they have an Instagram, or like, so I was following some sewists and stuff like that. And, just kind of like went down the rabbit hole, and I was like, oh my gosh, it was more about seeing that people were selling things on Instagram, which I don't do, but it was just like, oh my gosh, people are selling things on Instagram. This is crazy. And then, kind of then falling into the reselling world on Instagram, which is amazing and so supportive and so full of information. And then kind of getting the confidence to actually like join Poshmark and all of that. So it was, I think, January of 2018 that I finally opened my Poshmark account. I know I think you opened yours kind of around the same time, but you'd already been reselling for a while. I've always kind of been in that space, but didn't actually either know how to do it exactly or had not pulled the trigger. So,
let's thinking back about your family. You said that when you were younger and they went to thrift stores and stuff like that, where were they selling?
My grandparents would sell again at their own yard sales. So my grandparents weren't like sourcing at thrift stores and then reselling. I think they were buying at like estate sales and garage sales and then selling again at garage sales.
Yeah. Gotcha. Were they making a huge profit? Cause like garage sale to garage sale. I'm like,
no, I don't think so. It's funny because I will still like some of the things that were my grandmother's will still have like the price tags with her handwriting on them. And a little bit of a collector, not a little bit, a lot of bit of a collector on that side, which have that a bit too.
I feel like you're using the word collector in place of another negative word,
which we'll probably get to that also.
To the listener who's wondering what we're saying,
I mean hoarder.
I mean it, I get it, because I also had a grandma who was a collector and collected a lot of things. That became problematic, but so then you said later in your life you joined Instagram, you were a holdout. I like how the first accounts that you were following were sewing. That's the riveting content that you wanted.
It was. Well, because I didn't, you know, I'm like, I don't really need Instagram for like, I don't know, you know, I was older, a little bit older than, you know, what Instagram was really like targeted for at the time. yeah. So I was just, yeah, I'm like sewing, gardening, like those are the things that I'm interested in, you know? Yeah.
No, totally. Yeah. Yeah, I like it. So first, why sewing though? Like how has that been something in your life? Like, yeah. Are you a seamstress on the weekends, like prior to being a reseller?
No. So I've always sewed a little bit. My both my grandmothers taught me how to sew. One of my grandmothers was actually, she was a seamstress professionally. She was a quilter. And so I've always kind of had that skill a little bit. And I enjoy it. Mm-hmm. And I don't do it as much as I would like to, as far as like personal types of things, but it's something that I enjoyed seeing people do. And I definitely apply it to my work as a reseller too. So yeah, but yeah.
Okay. So let's, now we're fast forwarding to, you discovered the reselling community online. Yes. So you discovered the reselling community from social media and that led you to Poshmark?
Yes. I had heard of Poshmark. I'd heard of Poshmark. I knew of eBay. In fact, you know, I kind of, I'm so like jealous a little bit about your eBay story as a kid, because I think I had an eBay account, but I would just go on and like mm-hmm. browse and look at things and stuff. Mm-hmm. but I never sold anything there. So, I was very aware of eBay mm-hmm. and whatnot. And then I, you know, I would see, you know, those things, you know, ads pop up for Poshmark when it came out, and it's like, earn thousands of dollars from selling things from your closet or whatever. Yeah. But learning from the community and seeing like how easy Poshmark was, that's why it was easy for me, because I wasn't a full-time, pretty demanding job. Like it's just easy. It was easy to list and easy to ship and all of that stuff. So, that's kind of
okay.
how it got there.
Okay. So you started selling, you said early 2018. Okay. So you started selling on there early mm-hmm. 2018. At that point, what were you selling on there? I mean, were you selling from your closet? Were you already out thrifting for things to pick up?
A combination of both. So the first things I did list and sell were from my personal closet, but because I had kind of mm-hmm. been observing the community for a while, it wasn't like mm-hmm. it was a couple months from the point that I, you know, found the community and was learning about it before I actually like mm-hmm. jumped in. So I did go and like purchase a couple things. And mm-hmm. I had a collection of vintage and some other things that I had that I, you know, had actually purchased years before with intention to sell. So I had some things to sell, but initially it was things from my personal closet.
Okay. And being that you said you had kind of been observing or been a silent member of the reseller community yeah. online, you know, I'm wondering, were you building up knowledge, meaning by the time your closet went live? Like, I guess what I'm thinking is, if somebody who would be observing mm-hmm. for a while and then posting, like your first few pictures and titles and descriptions maybe wouldn't suck that
yeah,
bad.
They were okay. They weren't great. They weren't great.
I mean, like, I feel like we should go scroll your yeah. closet now.
Yeah. And yeah, yeah. Anybody can go scroll my closet. I don't care. yeah. I mean, I was still like trying to work out lighting and that kind of thing. But that, you know, the other thing that's part of, and we'll talk, I'm sure, a little bit more about this in a bit, but it's like, it's hard to get past that like perfection for me anyway, where it's like,
right,
oh, that doesn't look good. So I did know, yes, that there was, you know, you want to have decent pictures and you know, the lighting should be decent. People want to be able to see what actually you're selling. And that's really important. So that, and yeah, I mean, the photos and description were okay.
So you were never like a t-shirt on the back of hanging on the back of your door sort of person.
Not on the bed, not on the door. maybe on the floor, kind of in like a, you know, a flat lay type.
with some leaves around it.
I don't think I ever did leaves, but still, like, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. So you start doing that. You're selling things from around the home. You mentioned that you had some vintage pieces that you were putting on there as well, as Zoe said. You know, Poshmark, I don't think probably started out as the platform for selling vintage. And certainly I think it's has a little ways to go.
Yes. Yes.
Correct me if I'm wrong. In terms of really featuring or making it searchable for purchasers.
Agreed.
I guess.
Yes.
For lack of a better term. You know, how well was vintage doing when you first started?
That's a good question.
Did you feel like there was a market at that time?
Yes and no.
Because certainly, sorry to keep interrupting you, but certainly on eBay or places like Etsy, you can,
it's not weird. And, you know, like Etsy, like that's exactly what it's meant for. And not exactly. I mean, there's, you know, handmade crafted things also, but as far as clothing goes on Etsy, that's like, that's what it's meant for. I think there is a market and even was at the time for vintage and more based on style, especially at the time, you know, a few years ago. I think especially as trends were changing and there's a lot of kind of throwback happening and that happens, it's cyclical. Fashion and style is cyclical. You know, things were coming in and out of fashion. So if you're keeping up on those trends and you're finding vintage pieces that are falling into the 90s vibe or the Y2K vibe, that kind of keeps the vintage market more alive, I think, on Poshmark. But I think there is still a market for some of that older vintage, like 50s, 60s, 70s also. And quite as quick.
Yeah.
But it's definitely built up.
Yeah.
I think that the vintage buying community knows of Poshmark. And are, you know, using it, to look for vintage pieces. Now it's just a matter, hopefully, of Poshmark getting kind of to a point where it's a little easier to sell vintage there.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So you're listing items there. Tell me about the growth in your reselling business that led you up to now, I guess, where you're at. I mean, because it was basically like a year of growth. Or spoiler alert, guys. Liz is a full-time reseller, and she quit a full-time corporate job to resell. So how do you get from joining Poshmark in 2018 to when did you retire?
So January 2018, opened my Poshmark. And then sometime in there, you know, branching a little bit more, which we'll talk about that too. But I left my full-time job in February of 2019. So it'll be 2 years in February. That was an interesting journey. So I'd worked in the banking industry for the same company for 14 years and loved the company. I still love the company. I love the people and the friendships and business relationships that I had built there. And I was like an assistant manager. I was an operations specialist, did different things in that role and training and stuff. And then I was kind of asked to apply for this human resources role. And at the time it seemed like a really good fit. And based on what I was, you know, told originally of the job and what I moved into, it was a good fit. And then over time, the job kind of changed and the responsibilities shifted and things like that, which happens all the time in jobs. And then, but over that time, it just became something that wasn't the right fit for me anymore. And not because of the job necessarily, but I just kind of got to a really a bad emotionally and mentally, and decided that it was time to break from that job. And like you said previously, it was not a, I never expected to leave that company. You know, I was just kind of on a path and, you know, not necessarily a particular goal in mind, but, you know, moving along and finding new jobs within the company. And at the point where I was feeling very bad, for lack of better words, I was like, okay, I'm at kind of a breaking point. I need to make a kind of a drastic decision for myself. And while my reselling business is not where I need and or want it to be, I still have it. I have it, and I'm gonna work on it. I'm gonna take a break, and I'm gonna put what I can, what I have the capacity for, into my reselling business. And that's what I did.
And what, if you don't mind saying, like, what, there's many parts to HR, like what sort of HR work did you do?
I did lots of different things. Initially it was a lot of consulting. There was data analytics. There was always talking with managers or employees about different types of situations. To be, you know, can't spill all the beans, but I'm sure, you know, you and I both know that there are a lot of things that happen in the workplace that, you know, you kind of have to work out. Some things like you would never, ever think people would do, or, relationships happening places that you don't, you know, that you blow the mind, or, you know, and for me, kind of like the biggest thing was just like grown adults just acting like children. And that was the thing that was like always so the most frustrating for me, was just like, just grow up, be an adult, work together properly. Like, so I kind of did a lot of things, but a lot of putting out fires and having hard conversations with people.
And do you feel like the work that you were doing, like that's what was taking its toll on you? I mean, because it is like, I mean, I obviously agree with, you know, everything you said, 100%. It's a very emotionally and mentally taxing job, especially when you are dealing with other people's issues.
Yeah, definitely. It was very emotionally draining. And you know, there are some people that can do that job and excel at it and not absorb that energy. And I am not that person. I am definitely an empath. I'm definitely like, I will absorb your energy and take it home with me. And there's not a way for me to turn that off.
Yeah.
And separate that. That's like, once I've absorbed your energy, it's there for quite a while.
Yeah, in the same way. You take it home with you. As much as you think that you have the ability to let it go at the door,
it lives.
It kind of lives and festers inside you.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I get it. Okay, so, you know, being in that job and feeling the way that you did was, so that was the driving force.
Yeah, and I was, to be very clear, I was in a really bad place. Like, I was really, like, kind of, I was non-functional. And in the sense that, like, I couldn't get out of bed or, you know, so I was kind of in a depressive state. I, you know, mm-hmm. was at that point, I, you know, was seeing my doctor, and she diagnosed me with like a general anxiety disorder. And so, you know, worked mm-hmm. with my doctor, found a really good therapist, which I always recommend to people if that's something that, yeah, I think people maybe wait too long to get to get therapy.
For sure.
And it's not a bad thing. It's mm-hmm. not something that we should hide. It should be a normal thing. Mental health is physical health and all of that stuff. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. So I was in a really bad place and worked with my doctor, found a really good therapist, and just kind of got back on track. And it took a while. It took a while for me to kind of get back to mm-hmm. feeling like a normal person.
You know, and you mentioned that when you left the job to, you know, do something else, and you had this reselling business. I mean, I can relate to what you're saying in some ways, because when I left my job to resell full time, I wouldn't necessarily say I had a thriving business that could be relied on. And I think in, you know, both of our situations, mm-hmm. That's very much a luxury, because we have partners who had a stable income, and perhaps we had had some money saved up to have it make sense for our life. But it's not necessarily something that we would recommend. I would not recommend
doing what I did. And it's,
I mean, I know. Which is so funny to say that.
One, if you're at a breaking point, like, take care of yourself. That is something I would recommend. But as far as being like, you know, quit your job and immediately start reselling, that's probably, you know, not the best choice. You know, everybody has to make themselves, but I wouldn't recommend somebody doing it the way I did.
And it's, you know, it goes a lot of different ways because we understand, I think, when you are at a point in your professional career where you're just like, I can't do this anymore. And I think at that point, which, you know, you kind of mentioned and probably could elaborate more on, but it's okay, because that's another podcast episode in itself.
Exactly.
But making a plan to exit, you know, and even if maybe you're not 100% financially there, if you can make a plan to figure it out, and you know, it makes sense for you, because we know that maybe staying there isn't the healthiest.
You know, I don't have children. I I'm thinking about, like, my car was paid off. Like, there were things that, you know, if the position was different, if my situation was different, that it wouldn't have been the right choice, and I would have had to do something else. I had a little bit of cushion. I had some room to be able to jump into it. And that's, you know, so, and it wasn't, the plan also was to maybe try to find some other job after I was feeling better. And, you know, here we are though, you know, almost 3 years later. So I'm paying my bills and so much happier. I mean, there's always worries. There's always, you know, concerns or whatever. And, you know, at some point may have to, you know, get a job. That's okay. That's not a failure. That's just like what happens in life. But right now things are good, and I'm, you know, in a good mental, you know, a good mental and emotional place.
Yeah, well, you and I have known each other for, I'm trying to think.
Almost 3 years.
I want to say almost 3 years now. When I met you, you were a part-time, side hustle seller. And then about a year in is when you left your job. And touching on what you just said, I mean, I remember that when you left your job, and it was like, I was living my same experience again, watching you go through that process. And I remember you saying at the time, because it was early in the year that you had left your job, that, you know, you were going to kind of take like a month or two off and then it's, you are going to go back into a job. You know, what changed? What made you think like, you know what, I'm not going to go back out and get a corporate HR job or whatever you would have done next?
I think, I don't know if anything particularly changed, but maybe things became more clear in what I wanted from my life.
Mm-hmm.
And while there are some corporations and some corporate, you know, jobs that I think could potentially still align with what I want for my life, but I love the freedom that having this job allows me. I think, you know,
mm-hmm.
yes, there are a lot of long nights. There's a lot of, you know, late nights, long days. And, but if you're doing something that you enjoy doing, it doesn't always feel like work, you know, and being able to really, owning it yourself, not just like physically owning it, but like owning your time, owning,
right.
What you are giving yourself to, what you're giving your mind to, what lives in your head is so valuable. And I think just kind of over, you know, mm-hmm. as the months passed, it was like, wow, this is worth taking the time to put into, to be a happier and healthier person. And to be fair, those first couple months, my husband and I were traveling and we were doing things, and like, I think Denali is like, wait a minute, did you come into some money?
Are you independently wealthy?
Yeah.
No, but I get it, because that's what I did when I left my job, like for about a month and a half.
Yeah.
We traveled and I lived, you know, mm-hmm. Just a very relaxed lifestyle. Because when you are in a corporate setting, or, you know, especially I'm thinking of our experience working in human resources, especially if your department is small, and I was in a department of one, I carried the brunt of all the work in my department. So I really never could take time off, and I could never be unavailable. And so we did stuff like I went on a road mm-hmm. trip where my cell service was spotty at best.
It is.
And that's kind of freeing to do that, to be unavailable in that way. I mean, it sucks when you want to check the internet, mm-hmm. but but it's just, you know, allowing yourself to do these things that you haven't been able to do for so long. And you almost need to, what's the word I'm looking for? Like, I'm like, deflate, like, sounds wrong.
Yeah, but I think it's a cleanse and like breaking from that what was the normalcy of that job or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. taking a break, cleansing. I do know what you mean by deflating, but that's
it sounds negative, but maybe that's the right word. decompressing, thank you, that's better, that's less negative, that's more neutral. Mm-hmm. Okay, so
are you tired of spending hours sharing and sending offers to likers? Introducing Posher VA, the web program that will save you time and increase your sales. With Posher VA, you can automatically share your closet, send offers to likers, and schedule your share times all with just a few clicks. Using code ELDUCHO, you can try Posher VA for 2 weeks for free, no credit card required. Posher VA is not just another program, it is your program. Say goodbye to manual sharing and hello to even more time in your business. Try Posher VA today using code ELDUCHO, ELDUCHO.
You took the time to decompress. That was 2018. Here we are, in Q4 of 2020. How has your business mm-hmm. changed? What platforms do you sell on currently? Do you still only sell on Poshmark,
so,
or have you branched
currently
out?
On eBay, Poshmark. I sell a little bit on Mercari. It's not my favorite, but I sell a little bit on Mercari. Etsy. and then I just started Depop, and then there's a new app called Object Limited, which is kind of fun, but I haven't really done too much on there yet. And then last year, I did one market, which was amazing. And I really hoped to be able to do more this year, but clearly that was not happening. So yeah, a little, yeah.
And when you say, when you say market, you mean flea market.
This particular thing was just like a kind of like a little mini festival, but yeah, a flea market or outdoor market or gotcha. Vintage market, whatever, and you know, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, gotcha.
Gotcha. And thread
okay up, and you saw on thread up, right?
I know.
I'm like, I think we've named every platform, Liz. Look how far you've come. Mm-hmm. You went from like Poshmark to like 10 platforms
and to friends and family, you know, that kind of stuff too. Friends, okay, so friends and family, yeah
what'd you say? Oh, friends and family, gotcha. And you know, is there a platform that's kind of like your main?
I would say Poshmark and eBay are pretty equal at this point. I would love to say that eBay was like, mm-hmm. you know, blowing it out of the water, but the beauty of diversifying, and you know, we've heard this a lot on your podcast, is that when something is a little mm-hmm. slow over there, there's something else helping pick up over here. And there's so much that I love about doing this work. And that is part of it, is that you really own. And if you try an app or a platform and you don't like it, you don't have to do it, you know? Yeah. You're not committed mm-hmm. to it. Yeah. So,
and are you still, you know, what are you selling today? Are you selling modern or are you selling vintage? Is it split?
I sell a little and a lot of everything. Vintage is my passion. It will always be my passion. But I also just enjoy, like, I mean, obviously, if there's, you know, something that's beautiful and a designer or just a cool design, you know, fashion piece, I'm gonna get that too if I can. I just like things that are kind of unique and different. And so, like, I don't know, if you look at my store or my closet, you're gonna be like, okay, here's a Minnie Mouse t-shirt from Uniqlo, and then there's also like Burberry shoes and a 1950s vintage dress and, you know, like a cute top from Old Navy. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm kind of all over the board. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And no. You're not afraid to save a garment either, right? Talking about that seamstress skills.
Another part that I enjoy about this is being able to give new life to things that otherwise would have been like really discarded. That I've had to really be mm-hmm. thoughtful, a lot more thoughtful recently, of course, about what I am taking into repair. Mm-hmm. I repair things, I clean things, I scrub shoes.
And when you say being thoughtful about items that you take into repair, I know the answer, but I'm gonna ask anyway. You know, there's lots of, and as your friend and shopping together, and I've passed mm-hmm. items onto your way, and I'm like, ooh, all it needs is this. You know what I mean? And I know that you're always willing and game to do it, because, you know, both of us will see the beauty in this great vintage item, but mm-hmm. you're the one who's willing to do the work. You know, are you in your head thinking about like the time commitment versus the payout?
Yes and no. I mean, it's definitely, the time commitment versus payout, but also versus space, and not just like physical space, but space mm-hmm. in my mind. I will say mm-hmm. that it's been kind yeah. of a blessing and a curse, because I do have, you know, we use the really fun term death pile. So I do have a mm-hmm. bit of a backlog of things that were mostly repair or clean or that kind of thing. But those things have really mm-hmm. kept me going during quarantine and during COVID, and just like being able to give it the attention that that it needs to get done. And I'm thinking specifically of, like, there was a faux fur coat that we, you know, I think you grabbed it at the bins and you gave it to me because the lining was coming undone. And that was probably sometime last year that mm-hmm. that happened. And I finally was able mm-hmm. to like fix the lining, and the coat sold almost immediately. And, yeah. And the buyer was so happy. Yay. And was like, it's in perfect condition and but it's just the time,
yeah.
you know, to put into something. So yeah, that's what, that right. is what I mean, is like, and what's the return on it? So a lot of times on Instagram, I'll be sharing that I'm like fixing lace on vintage slips, which don't sell for very much. But it's like, I can't leave it behind. I have a hard time with that. So I'm trying to get better at understanding what my capacity yeah. is. And yeah, but
is it also in the same breath, are repairing items,
is
that also yeah, a part of the business is. That so brings you joy?
It's all about balance yeah. and yeah, understanding, yes, this does bring me joy, this makes me happy, it's satisfying, but I also can't repair, you know, slips that I'm going to net $10 on all day. You know, I have to also bring in other right. items that, you know, that are going to help keep the business moving along. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Okay. Well, you know, mm-hmm. talking about, mm-hmm. you know, death, money piles, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Tell me about your workspace. You know, do you work out of home? Do you have a storage unit?
Am
What's your deal?
So very lucky, because I have a detached building from my home. Our house is pretty small. It's less than 800 square feet. And initially I was kind of doing the business out of the house, but we have this detached building, and a couple years ago kind of had it rehabbed because it had been flooding, and it was our storage space, and it wasn't really ideal for running the business out of. But now it's beautiful, and I've got racks and my storage bins and my desk and all my lights and everything. So literally, like, my commute is like 10 steps from my back door, and it's amazing. I'm so lucky to have the space that I do. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a beautiful space. I already knew about it. It, well, it's like one,
yeah,
one
so there's
longer
two,
building.
Yeah,
and
so
then
there's
it's
two,
split in two with
my
the
space
offices.
Is a little bit bigger, but we also have our like personal storage in here. And then my husband has a small what used to be like a workshop shed that is his office and work studio space. So he's a graphic designer and artist, and runs kind of a little small print shop out of there too sometimes. So yeah,
we should plug my him husband, if anybody needs graphic design.
I'm like, oh yeah, my husband, how about if somebody needs some cool graphic design, they can reach out to me and I'll connect them to my husband. Yeah
reach out to you.
Yes.
Yep. Yes. Yeah. If you need like a new logo or. Okay. So I've seen your space. It's quite impressive. It's a
filled with
nice
lots of things.
Room.
Yes.
Filled with lots of amazing things.
And again, we're alluding
trying
to hoarding.
I said it nicely. What? I didn't say it. I didn't say the H word. You know, so what's your. what's your storage system? Because to be honest, actually going into your space, I haven't looked around that much in that way. Like, do you have a hanging system? Do you have a bin system? What do you do?
My listed items for the most part are in a bin system. And I, at least for now, I sort kind of like non-traditionally, I think, but I sort by item. So dresses, sweaters, tops, pants, kids stuff is kind of separate. Men's stuff is kind of separate. And that works for me in my mind. Larger things, coats and jackets and maybe some nicer dresses and whatnot are hanging. But for the most part, everything is in a bin system.
And how many pieces do you have actively listed? If you know.
About 500 on Poshmark. So not a huge number, but like a mid-range active number. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So thinking about, kind of all the things that we've talked about in the past couple of years that you've gone through, what do you feel like are the challenges you face right now in your business? I mean, obviously 2020 has been an interesting year. So, you can answer this in as many ways that you would like. I mean, you can answer it as like in general, if COVID hadn't happened. And then, what has COVID presented challenges to you as well?
The world and the realm of COVID, I would say, and I mentioned this earlier, but not being able to get out and do markets and things was something that I'd really planned for 2020 and that I really enjoyed. I only was able to do one, and that was really a bummer. It's really a joy to be able to see people finding treasures in the same way that you did, and like you've curated it a little bit, and but just seeing people try things on and being like, oh my God, that thing was meant for you to have, was really fun. So I'm excited and hopeful that, in 2021, we'll be able, I'll be able to do that more. As far as some of the other things that are just like general things, I'm a little bit of a hoarder. and I think that draws me back. As far as all of my like listed pieces, those are all like very organized. I know where everything is. And actually, I do know where all of everything else is. It's just a lot. I have a lot of things. But I kind of think that with COVID, I've been able to get through a lot of the things that I have. Do the repairs and whatnot that I've been wanting to do.
And just in terms of, I think like a big thing during the earlier part of quarantine in the year that you and I have discussed in the past, a lot of people struggled to get inventory, but you approached it in a unique way. So, do you mind sharing?
It is. Yeah.
Absolutely. Which I think is still applicable. People can still do this at any point.
So I have a very active buy nothing group in my neighborhood. So a buy nothing group.
Anybody who doesn't know, what's a buy nothing group?
It initially was a concept that literally you would have to maybe buy nothing. You don't trade, it's just like, I'm gifting from myself and I will choose somebody based on whatever reason I want within my community to gift it to. And it's on Facebook. You do have to be on Facebook to have a buy nothing group. Not all areas have them, but I would, do some research and see if your area has them. They're pretty hyper local, at least mine is. And it's just a way that you can, gift things that you have in your home that you're no longer using. You can gift, time, or services, or you can ask for things. So if it's just even, like the traditional, like, oh, I need a cup of sugar, you can go on there and ask for, you know, a cup of sugar, or if it's like, I need this size clothes for my kids, or I'm looking for, I need a pot, or I need spices for a specific recipe, whatever. The limitations are endless, really, as long as it's like a request and there's no money exchanged or anything like that. So it did take me a little while to ask, because I am not a very I don't always ask for the things that I want or that I need. but I did go on and I said, you know, I am a reseller. I sell mostly clothing on the internet, and I know that people are cleaning out their homes right now. And if you have donations that you wanted to take to Goodwill or wherever, which at the time was closed and not accepting donations, I'd be willing to come and pick them up and sort them and find things that work for me. And then, you know, when they do open back up, I will do one large donation to clean everything out. And so I was able to go to people in my neighborhood, and I got some really wonderful things, and people were so, I don't know, just really generous and thoughtful, and also very thankful to get some things out of their home. And then the other part that kind of came from that, which is something that I feel good about, is, so there are things that are not maybe meant for me to resell, but don't necessarily need to go to Goodwill. And I have now a connection in my neighborhood for some local day shelters, and just kind of taking those donations and finding the things that make sense to go to a day shelter, you know, good, sturdy, comfortable, as we move into winter, warm clothes that make sense for people who are houseless, and getting those to the places that they need to go. So kind of just the kind of the logistics of moving things, getting things to people that can actually use them, is actually really rewarding, because I don't know, sometimes when people think about what they're donating to shelters, like, they're like, oh, I don't want to maybe donate to Goodwill, because, you know, you might have different feelings about Goodwill. But yeah, people who are going to day shelters, or any shelter for that matter, don't need your silk jackets or your business slacks. Like, they need jeans, they need comfortable pants, they need comfortable shoes, clean socks, you know, a long sleeve t-shirt, those types of things. So that's been kind of another kind of side aspect of being able to collect things from people and get them where they need to go has been good too. Yeah,
that's awesome. I know that from last time we talked, that was something that maybe was, you were just starting at the time, so I didn't know where it had led you, so that's cool. Okay, so, you know, we talked about the challenges of your business. I'm curious to know, where do you see the future of your business going? And I know that's kind of, it's a weird time to ask this sort of question. I mean, I think that we all probably, regardless of the current pandemic, we all have goals or hopes for our business. I mean, are there things that you'd like to see happen by the end of this year or in the next year?
That is a good question. And it is something I think about a lot. I'm also kind of like, I'm not, while I, especially this year, like, my word for the year, which I have never really done before, but my word for the year was intentional and intention. And I'm trying to be intentional about things, but I don't necessarily set goals. So that's kind of a hard question for me, but I've thought about different ways to kind of expand or do things a little bit differently. Again, markets would be wonderful. I've thought a little bit about branching out into Amazon, just because while it's very different from what I really enjoy about reselling, I think that it could be, especially doing FBA, fulfillment by Amazon, you know, you're finding things and then you're sending to them and you don't really have to think about it. So there's, you know, that's kind of appealing. And, you know, I don't know. I have ideas. Like I kind of have a podcast idea, which is also not necessarily about my business. I don't know. That's not fully fledged, but I have some ideas. But yeah, I just kind of want to right now, especially with everything that's going on, I think my goal is just to keep getting better at what I'm doing right now. Like, it's a really simple goal, but that's what I want. I just want to kind of keep growing incrementally. And I don't necessarily need to blow up. I don't need, like, that's not what I'm going for. I just want to keep getting better and doing better and listing more and doing, you know, just doing better work. That's my goal, I guess. Yeah.
That's a great goal. I actually think that that's like one that most or all of us should focus on, is just keep doing better at what we're doing. Because I've spoken with people previously in the podcast and related to people in the podcast about wanting to do something different, right? Like, this job is, I don't want to say monotonous, because that sounds so negative, but it is essentially the same work over and over again, like any job, right? You source the item, you photograph it, you measure it and inventory it, you put it away, you list it, you sell it, you ship it, you start the process over again. And so it's easy to want to find anything to distract you to do something differently. But I still think that there are lots of ways to grow in this job, in doing the same things that we're doing every day. Just, you know, like you said, adding Amazon.
Yeah.
Right. Or adding platforms in general, right? Just adding a platform or taking, you know, maybe it means hiring somebody to help you do the work, right? Because that helps you scale and grow. Yeah. But they're uncomfortable things. Like, those are the things that we're like, no, I don't want to do that. That's uncomfortable too.
It's like, like, starting this was not comfortable for me. It was, and it just seems so simple, but it was not comfortable to step outside. And it's not comfortable, you know, the thought of me, you know, having a conversation with you for your podcast was not comfortable. It's comfortable now. It's fine. It's fine. But I'm happy I'm doing it. But yeah, I mean, those are the things that you kind of just, that's where growth comes from, is from those uncomfortable places. Yeah. And I think too, you know, one thing that a former boss and friend of mine would say would be like, you really need, you know, you really need 2 years at, you know, in a position or in a job to really understand it. You know, especially in the industry that I came from, it was very normal for people to just like jump. And, you know, but you don't really get to fully, grow where you are if you're just jumping from place to place. And understanding all of the aspects of it. So, like, I think at this point, you know, I understand how all of this works, but I still learn new things every day too. So,
totally. No, I agree. I completely agree with you, because, like, only now, 3 years in, am I like, absolutely, whoa, okay, I have a better understanding of this job. You know, and I believe 3 years from now, I'll be like, that's so funny.
We'll never have it fully figured out. There are new things going to happen every day. We just got to go with the flow and
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Especially, you know, the fact that a lot of the selling that we're doing is online, technology based, and technology changes all the time. As any reseller who's been doing this for a period of time will know, things are always changing. So you really, you can't ever you'll never get comfy. So, mm-hmm. All right. Well, okay. Thinking back now on your long journey, Liz, I'm curious what advice you would give yourself when you were first starting out.
A little bit off of what we were just saying is just, I would have just told myself to do it and just do the thing. Mm-hmm. Open the Poshmark account, just mm-hmm. jump in and do it. And I still have to tell myself that sometimes often, just do the thing, like list the thing. It doesn't have to be perfect. Mm-hmm. Do your best and, but just do it, you know, it doesn't perfection is, you know, a thing that kind of holds me back a little bit, but I've been finding, especially now, mm-hmm. With like doing the repairing and things that I've been working on. And it's like, it's not ever going to be perfect, but that's okay. And then, you know,
right.
Getting it up, getting it sold, getting the feedback back that somebody loves something. And it's like, okay, that's, you know, that's just the motivation for me at least to be like, just do the thing. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think that, you know, that's an interesting space mm-hmm. to kind of be floating in, right? Talking about repairing vintage garments.
Yeah.
And then also in the same breath to be saying, don't strive for perfection.
They are.
Right. Because those are two very different things to be repairing something so carefully. And there's not a lot of space to not give 100% in those sometimes when we're thinking about stitching together lace. Right. But I think also, like you said, finding what makes sense for you and your business to be doing and I think what your time will allow. Yeah.
Yeah. There are some things that you can, you know, sell as they are and you have to be okay with that. And then there are some things that you can repair mm-hmm. and maybe it's not perfect, but it's very good and that's good enough. And just being okay with that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just sell it as it is. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Or just sell it damaged mm-hmm. and let somebody else fix it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you,
Janelle. All right. Well, thank you so much, Liz. This has been so much fun. I'm like,
I'm
glad that you just on your own advice.
Just do the thing. Do it.
You just did the podcast. We did it. It wasn't too painful. I feel like anybody who needs something from you in their life should just ask you now because you're gonna just
hit
do
me
it.
Up.
So if you guys need anything from Liz, hit up her DMs. Yes. If you want her to stitch something for you.
Yeah.
No, exactly. But maybe in the same breath, part mm-hmm. of the just do it is you're also gonna say no.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
You've got the space to do that.
It was great. Thank you, Janelle.
All right. Well, I'm glad I caught you on a yes day. So
awesome.
Thank you so
thank
much,
you
friend. And
bye. Yes,
I will talk with you soon.
Yay. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Bye. Hey there. Thanks for tuning into the Flip the Script podcast. I wanted to take a quick moment to express my gratitude for your continued support. As a listener, you play a crucial role in the success of this podcast, and there are so many ways you can help out, and I'd love to share a few with you. For starters, you can support the podcast with a monthly donation as low as 99 cents at flipthescriptpodcast.com. Every little bit counts. And if you want to show your love even more, don't forget to subscribe and leave a 5-star review on your favorite podcasting platform. I read every review and really appreciate those who've left reviews already. And last but not least, be sure to check out the affiliate links in the show notes. There is a small kickback that is received from any purchases that you might make. And of course, follow flipthescript.pod on Instagram. It's also a great way to stay up to date on the latest episodes and behind the scenes content. Thank you again for being a part of the Flip the Script community. I couldn't do it without you. Thank you again to Liz for being on this week's episode of the podcast. Thank you so much for being, well, firstly on the show and allowing me to interview you, but also to share your journey and to open up with
you know, the world to listen to your story. I know it's not an easy story to always share, but it is an incredibly helpful one. And I hope that you as a listener were able to get some nuggets from it, or maybe it just made you think differently about your situation. Again, you can find Liz on Instagram under the username shoplmarnell, or on Poshmark under the username lmarnell. And again, that's E-L-M-A-R-N-E-L. And all that information will be in the show notes for you. Again, today is like my big day. I'm celebrating the launch of my course. If you are interested in taking your business to the next level, I want to be there with you, alongside you, cheering you all along in this process. So check out my website. It's hiringava.com, H-I-R-I-N-G-A-V-A.com. And let's do this. Let's make Q4 and 2021, which is so crazy to say, but let's make it your year that you grow your business and you expand beyond what you believe is possible for you. But in the meantime, keep on listing and keep on selling.